Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. So I thought once again today, since we're in the Aser Simei Tshuva, we would talk about a Tshuva-related topic, different type of topic than last time, though as we'll see, maybe somewhat related. And and then again, after Yom Tov, we'll turn to different topics. So I wanted to talk about tshuva on character traits today. And I'd like to do it by noting the order of Hilchos tshuva. The Rambam, as you all know, was a magnificent organizer. He took halachos scattered throughout Shas, and he codified them in organized ways. This year I'm learning Masechta Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos, along with Bava Basra. And a lot of times when I can't remember where the Gemara discusses something, I just look at the Rambam, because everything is so organized in the Rambam. He starts off with the Klalim, then he has the Deraises, then he has the Derabbanans. Easy to find everything. And this is especially magnificent, actually, when it comes to something like Hilchos Tshuva. Because Hilchos Tshuva, there is, of course, no Maseches Tshuva. At least Hilchos Shabbos, you have Maseches Shabbos. There is no Maseches Tshuva. So the Rambam really takes, the Ramban actually makes this point when he's praising the Rambam. To create something like Hilchos Tshuva out of nothing is awesome. So the Rambam's organization is incredible. But when we learn Hilchos Tshuva, we'll see that there's a very obvious and glaring issue in terms of the Seder HaDvarim. And to appreciate this, let's just go ahead and look at the basic order of Hilchos Tshuva, the basic structure. We're not going to read all of this, obviously, but we'll see enough to appreciate the problem and perhaps also discover the solution. So usually when we talk about tshuva, we think about tshuva about averos. I did a particular avera, and I need to do tshuva for that maisa avera. And the Rambam bears this out at the beginning of Perek Aleph. He writes, "Kol mitzvah shebetorah bein aseh bein lo saseh im avar adam." Im avar adam alachas mehan ben mizadam ben mishkago, kshiyasa tshuva v'yashu mechato chayv lesvados lefnei akel baruch hu. There's an interesting discussion because the Rambam here says that the mitzvah is vidui, not tshuva. In the Koteret, he writes that there is a mitzvah of tshuva. Why that is? Briefly, it's because the Rambam, I think, holds that there is only a tzivoy of vidui, but that implies a mitzvah of tshuva. But that's for another time. And the Rambam tells you, so what do you do? How do you do vidui? Omer ana Hashem chatasi avisi pashati. So it includes a pleading, ana Hashem, chatasi avisi pashati, asisi kach v'kach, specifying what you did, v'enichamti, voshtai b'masai, regret, busha. These are all fundamental to tshuva, as he says. Kabbalah haba, that's the ikar, kol amar b'reza meshubach. Throughout the parak, he continues and tells us about how you do vidui, when vidui works, and the like. In Perek Beis, he continues. He says what tshuva is. He talks about tshuva gemura, someone who faced with the very same temptation doesn't go back. In chapter 3, he talks about the nature of judgment, which is, again, a very reasonable progression. So he talks about kol echad ve'echad mibnei adam yesh lo zechuyos ve'avonos. And if your zechuyos are yeseros, your tzaddik, natural progression from the first two chapters. Chapter 4 talks about things that prevent tshuva, which also makes sense that you would talk about that. Esrim ba'arba dvarim ma'akvenes tshuva. And he talks about why different sorts of things would be ma'akev tshuva. And that's basically ends his discussion of tshuva for now. And in chapters 5 and 6, the Rambam discusses free will. Why would the Rambam discuss free will in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva? So here, this also makes a lot of sense. First of all, there is only a need to do tshuva because we have free will. If we were compelled to act the way we did, if we didn't act volitionally, so obviously I wouldn't have to do tshuva for my avera. I don't have to do tshuva for any avera that I didn't freely commit. And moreover, the reason why tshuva is possible is because I have free will. Just as I had the freedom to sin, I have the freedom to repent. And therefore, it's very logical why the Rambam would place his discussion of free will in the midst of Hilchos Tshuva. So let's take a look quickly what the Rambam says in Parakei, Halach Aleph, Rishus Kol Adam Nisuna Lo. Im Ratza Latos Atzmo L'Derech Tova, Lios Tzadik HaRishus Biado. Vim Ratza Latos Atzmo L'Derech Ra'a, Lios Rasha Rishus Biado. Hu Shekasuv BaTorah, Hein HaDam HaYakacha Mimenu, L'Adas Tov Ra'a. It's interesting that he quotes that Pasuk, not the Pasuk from Parshas Nitzavet, which he quotes later. Kolomar, Hein min zeh shel adam hayachad ba'olam, ve'en lo min sheni domeh lo bezeh inyan. So the Rambam interprets this pasuk in a very precise way. Man is unique. There's no other creature like man that has freedom. Angels that are above man don't have freedom. Animals that are below man don't have meaningful free will. And sorry, I lost the place. So she who be'atzmo bedato v'machshavto yodeya hatov v'hara ve'osema kol mashu chafetz. So the Rambam here emphasizes actually that there's two fundamental aspects to free will. The first is the ability to know that which is right and that which is wrong. That's what's meant by yodeya tov v'hara, to figure out independently. She who me'atzmo bedato v'machshavto yodeya tov v'hara. If I have freedom to choose, but I lack the ability to know what's right and what's wrong, then obviously I can't be held accountable for my decisions because I was free to choose the choice that I made, but I didn't know what was right or what was wrong. So the first component, as the Pasuk emphasizes, is the ability to know that which is wrong. And then the second component is v'oseh kol ma'ashu chafetz, the ability to actually choose, to carry out my decisions. Nobody stops him. And that's why the pasuk continues, pen yishlach yado. And the Rambam deals with issues here. Why isn't God in control of everything? No, God gives us the power to freely choose. And the Rambam continues, in halacha beis, don't say that which these stupid people say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees upon a man whether to be good or bad, to be a tzaddik or rasha, ein adabar kein. What a statement. We could each be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that perhaps there was no one as great as Moshe in terms of nevuah, but in terms of righteousness, each and every one of us has the ability to be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam writes, O chacham, o sachal. Note the usage of these words, chacham, o sachal. We'll get back to this point. O rachman, o achzari, o kili, o shua, v'chein shar kol hadeos. And the Rambam continues along these lines that a person is not compelled to act. And the Rambam writes as well in Halacha Gimel, v'ikr zeh kar gadol, this is really the basis of all of Torah and mitzvos, that you have the ability to do that which is right or that which is wrong. In Halach Perak Vav, he continues his topic of free will. He writes that there are psukim that seem to contradict this notion of freedom, such as the psukim that talk about the hardening of Paro's heart. Rambam notes it's not just Paro. There are many, many examples, Jews and non-Jews, individuals and communities whose free will seems to have been taken away from them. And the Rambam proposes a theory that addresses that issue, that because people freely sinned in such an egregious manner, there are times that the ability, the gift of freedom is taken away. These are all big topics, which really warrant a shiur in and of itself, but we're just going to gloss over them for now quickly. So after Perek Vav is really where the problem begins, because the Rambam now in Parak Zion returns to Tshuva. And the question is, why? Why didn't he finish his discussion of Tshuva and then have free will, or discuss free will and then discuss Tshuva? We could understand why the Rambam would put it at the beginning, like we said, because freedom is the reason why we need to do tshuva, and it's why we're able to do tshuva. It's also makes sense why we do it at the end. Having discussed tshuva, it makes a lot of sense that we need to know that we're free. But why would he discuss tshuva for four chapters, then discuss free will in chapters 5 and 6, and now in chapter 7, return to his discussion on free will? I mean, on tshuva. What we're not going to talk about is the final chapters of the Rambam. Maybe we'll talk about them another time where he talks about Olam Haba and the like. And what that's doing in Hilchos Tshuva is also very interesting, but again, not for now. The question that I really want to focus on is, why does he interrupt his discussion on tshuva to discuss free will and then return to the discussion of tshuva? And clearly the answer is that there has to be some progression here. In other words, the discussion of tshuva and Perek Zayin can't be the same one that he was discussing in chapters 1 through 4. And moreover, it must be something that we need chapters 5 and 6 in order to understand chapter 7, which is why he discusses free will in chapters 5 and 6 and then goes on to chapter 7. So to answer this question, what we need to do is look for what's new in chapter 7. What is he discussing here that he hasn't discussed before? So it begins with the point that tshuva is necessary and possible because we have free will. However, shuska adam nesuna lo kmo shebiyarnu yishtadel adam lasos tshuva v'ne'or kapav mechata'av kedei sheyamos v'hu bal tshuva kedei sheyizkel chayim haba. It's interesting. Over here, he says yishtadel before he talked about chayiv. It's interesting. Over here, he doesn't just talk about tshuva, but he says kedei sheyamos v'hu bal tshuva. What does that mean? Why is it important to die as a Baal Tshuva? Do Tshuva. Live as a Baal Tshuva. Like he said at the beginning of Perek Beis, person has to do Tshuva when they're young. And the Tshuva that you do when you're old isn't the same. He talks about in Halacha Beis, Lolam Yer Adam Atzmo Kilu Nota Lamos. Again, this return to a discussion of death. And in Halacha Gimel, he writes something which is going to be the key to answering the question. Ve'al Tomar, Shein Tshuva Ela Me'aveiros, Sheyesh Bahen Maaseh. Don't say that there's only tshuva from averos that have a maisa, from an act, from a sin, from an maisa aveva. Kigon znus begazol gneva. Keshem shetzarich adam lashuv me'elu. Just like you have to do tshuva from averos that have a maisa, kachu tzarich l'chapes b'deos haro sheyesh lo. You have to look at your deos. The Rambam uses the term deos to describe character traits, what we would usually call midos, v'lashuv mehem, and do tshuva from character flaws as well. Min ha'kas, u'min ha'eva, u'min ha'kina, u'min ha'tacharos, u'min ha'atel, u'meredifas ha'mamon, ba'akavod, u'meredifas ha'machalos, kiyotzei bahem. So you have to do tshuva from anger, hatred, envy, frivolity, the pursuit of money or honor or gluttony or the like. Min ha'kol tzarich lachzor b'tshuva. You have to do tshuva from everything. These averos, tshuva from deos is really much harder than averos that just have a maisa aveva. Shebizman shadam nishka ba'elu, when you are sunk and you're attached to these bad deos, kashahu lefrosh, it's really very difficult to be poresh. V'cheinu omer yazav rasha darko, v'ish avan machshev osav. So this pasuk in Yeshayahu, which we just read, emphasizes this point, the need to not just do tshuva from averos, but yazov rasha darko, vish aven machshevosav, from his machshavos. So that's what the Rambam says. So the Rav in Ala Tshuva, it's on page 191 through 256, has a beautiful answer to the question, this question, question of the order of the Rambam. The Rav notes that the beginning of the Rambam, the first chapters on tshuva, chapters 1 through 4, discuss tshuva on actions, as we said. And most people are willing to accept that their actions are free. Intuitively, we feel free with respect to our actions. But when it comes to our deos, many people do not feel free. They don't really feel that they're able to change those deos, those character traits. We're born with a certain predilection. Either it's because of our genes, or because of our upbringing, whether it's nature or nurture, this is just the way I am. And I can't really change that. And therefore, tshuva is impossible because we can't change, and also for that matter, unnecessary because it's not our fault. And therefore, before discussing tshuva on deos, which is in Perek Zayin, the Rambam introduces the topic of free will. And over there, he articulates that we are free with respect to our deos as well. Take a look back at Perek Hay, Halacha base, and it's highlighted, right? The Rambam says we're free with respect to even our deos. V'chein shar kol ha-deos. O'chacham o'sichi, o'rachman o'achzari, o'kili o'shua, v'chein shar kol ha-deos. The Rambam in Perkei emphasizes that we're free, not just with respect to our actions, which is quite intuitive. There are those that even challenge that. But that's at least intuitive, that we're free with respect to our maisim. The Rambam emphasizes in his discussion on freedom that we're free with respect to our deos. And that's exactly the point. Once the Rambam introduced this idea, this basic fundamental principle that we're free with respect to our deos, now the Rambam can discuss tshuva on deos. So the Rambam is so brilliantly ordered. First, he introduced the concept of tshuva on maisim. He doesn't need the hakdama of free will for that, because we intuitively feel free. Then he introduces the concept of free will, which is absolute freedom, even with respect to deos. And accordingly, now he's ready for Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva, the idea of tshuva on deos. And that explains the order of the Rambam. And there are a lot of additional anomalies that we could explain based off of this insight. Go back to Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. How will the Rishos call Adam Nesuna lo, Kimosha bi'arnu, Yishtadel ha'adam lasos tshuva, the lin'or kapav mechata'av. So I once heard, I think from Rav Lichtenstein, that why does the Rambam over here write Yishtadel in Perek Zayin? He should just say, you're chayev, like he said in Perek Aleph, you're chayev to do tshuva. And the answer is that when it comes to tshuva on deos, this is obviously something much more difficult. Tshuva meisim is hard enough, but at least we know what to do. If there's something that I do that's wrong, I just have to stop. I do this avera, I eat non-kosher food, I have to stop non-kosher food. All right. I at least know what I need to do. When it comes to tshuva on deos, really, it is much more difficult. And so the Rambam uses a different type of language. It's yishtadel ha'adam lasos tshuva. We got to try. We have to try. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us, to try. And this also, I heard this insight, I think, from Rav Tversky. That's why he focuses on death over here. Yishtadel adam lasos tshuva v'lin or kapav mechata'av kidei shiyamus behu bal tshuva. So we'll die in a state of tshuva. Over here, we're talking about a process, a lifetime's avoda. Again, when it comes to tshuva on a particular maisa, it's straightforward. I've done an avera, I realize I have to stop, and I do tshuva, and I stop. But when it comes to tshuva on deos, the process of perfecting and improving my character is one that's a lifetime's avoda. So our goal isn't to just do tshuva and be done with it, but it's a lifetime's process. Kidei shiyamus v'hu bal tshuva, to be in a state of growth and improvement throughout our life. It's a lifelong goal. It's not something that we just sit down and do and get over with. You know, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur are a time to inspire us to begin work on this lifelong process. But it's not an el avoda. It's a lifetime avoda. Your goal is to die with good midos. I thought maybe to add another ha'ara, I didn't put this in the Yemar Makomos sheets, but relating to this point, that when it comes to deos and thought patterns, that there is another, you know, it's really about the process and the effort, yishtadel, and the process. And you see this in Hilchos Mikvaos, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis. The Rambam over there writes, Davar Barar V'Galui She'atumos V'Ataharos G'zeros HaKasavim. Obviously, Tum and Taharos G'zeros HaKasav, we do it because Hashem says we don't really understand it. V'Einan V'Dvarim Shadaito Shel Adam Machra'ato V'Arein B'Chlal Achukim. It's not something we would figure out on our own. V'Chein HaTfilah Min HaTumah M'Chlal Achukim Hu She'ein HaTumah Tit Otsoa She'tavor B'mayim. It's not like Tumah is dirt that when I go into a pool, it gets cleaned. Alexer Sakasafi, Fadavar Toli Bikavanas Halev. It's Toli and Kavana, because Ulafikach Amu Chachamim, Taval Velo Chokzak, Kilulo Taval. This relates to the halacha of having Kavana when you do Tfilah. There's an interesting point here, which is that this is a din de Rabbanan. And but the Rambam is says that it reflects the basic idea of the mitzvah. But anyhow, v'afal pichein, remez yesh bedavar. There's a remez. This is a similar formulation to what the Rambam says about shofar. Kishem sheha mechavein libo letahir, kevan shetaval tahor, v'afal pishelo neschadesh begufo davar. A person decides that he wants to become tahor, and he goes to the mikvah. He is Tahor. He's been transformed, even though there's no physical change. Kacha mechabein libo letaher, nafsho mitumos hanefashos, shein machshavos ha'avon, v'deos haraos. When it comes to tshuva on machshavos and deos, which is what he talked about in Perek Zion, kevan shehiskim belibo lifrosh, me'osan ha'etzos, v'hevi nafsho b'mei hadas tahor. Habei Omer, Zarakti Alechem Ayin Tohim Utaratem, Mikol Tumos Echem, Mikol Gululechem, Atahar Eschem. So when it comes to, again, Shuvan Deos, Shuvos on Machshavos, like he quoted from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. So here, when we are Mechavein Libo Letahar, in a real way, obviously. So, Kevan Shehiskim Belibo Lifrosh, so you are Tahor. And this is very similar, very different, I think, than, you know, what he said about tshuva on Meisim, where he said that tshuva on Meisim means that you have to commit to never doing it again, and tshuva gemura when you don't do it again, when faced with the same challenge and you stand up. Here, it's much more about, like he says, hiskim belibo lifrosh meosan haitzos. So here again, I think the same idea, that process of tshuvan deos is one which is different, and that's, of course, stemming from the fact that the challenge of working on deos is much greater. So when it comes to, let's say, averos that have a physical component, eating non-kosher, for example, it's essential that we definitively say we will not do the action again, because we have much more straightforward self-control over these actions. When it comes to deos hamachavein libo letara nafsho, so then once we do that, Hashem sprinkles on us the purifying water and cleanses us of the filth. So far, what have we seen in Hilchos Teshuva? We've seen the Rambam tell us that even when it comes to deos, we are really, really free. And like he says, incredibly, each of us can be a tzaddik like Moshe. And even with respect to deos, the Rambam acknowledges it's much more difficult when it comes to deos. It's a lifelong process. It's yishtadel. But still, ultimately, v'chein shar deos, we're free with respect to all deos. And this raises a very important question, which is, to what extent do we really control our personality type? And to what extent should we try to change it? Now, when you read Hilchos Teshuva Parakei, the simple understanding is, you know, almost like, you know, every person is a tabula rasa, their blank slate. You know, we can do whatever we want. V'chein shar deos, we could be like Moshe Rabbeinu, we could be like a Ravam. It's all up to us. That's sort of what it sounds like. However, that is clearly not what the Rambam felt. And to appreciate that, let's take a look on the next source in Hilchos Deos. In Hilchos Deos, the Rambam begins by noting that naturally people have all sorts of deos, and more specifically, that people are naturally inclined to one extreme or the other. Deos harbi yesh l'chol achad v'yachad mipnei adam, v'zu mishuna mizu, v'rchoka mimenu b'yoser. We're all different from each other, and our deos are different. Ki yesh adam shehu bal chema, kovis tamid, yesh adam shedai tu miyushavis alav, v'enu kovis klal, v'miyachas, v'yachas kaas me'at, v'kam hashanim. For example, concerning the trait of anger, some people are easily angered, some people are so placid that they are never angered at all, or once in a couple of years. And the Rambam writes this, it goes on and on about how this is true with respect to all deos. Look at Halacha Beis, where it's bolded, v'chol ha-deos yesh mehen deos shehen la'adam mitchilas b'riyaso o l'teva, l'fi teva gufo. The Rambam tells us, so important, you know, where do we get up, where do we come with these deos? These are things that we are born with. They're genetic. The Rambam doesn't use that term, but we know that genes play a role. V'yesh men deos shetivo shel adam, zeh mechavim v'asad l'kabal osam b'mehera yosim yishar deos. Maybe we're born with it, but these are deos that are easy for us to acquire. We have a predilection towards this particular character trait. V'yesh men she'en el adam etchilas b'yaso, ala lamar osam me'acherim. Sometimes they're learned behaviors. It's nature and nurture. Or he decided to become that way. Or he heard it was a good idea. Until you acquired that trait. So what's clear from this Rambam is even though the Rambam says we are free with respect to our deos, it doesn't mean we're a tabula rasa. It doesn't mean that we are born as a blank slate. And the reason, you know, if I struggle with anger, it's not because I decided to make myself that way. I might have been born with that character trait. I might have picked it up from my family, from my parents. I might have been traumatized. Who knows? There are all sorts of reasons why a person might have deos. And most of them, the Rambam says, are not because of conscious choices that he's made. The Rambam is not claiming that it's equal for everybody. And the Rambam specifically states over here, Adurabba, people are naturally inclined towards one extreme or another. The avoda, when it comes to deos, is moderation. Moderation as the Rambam defines it. Now you learn Hilchos Deos and you'll see what that means exactly. But that's not what's natural. Naturally, typically people tend towards the extremes. So the Rambam is telling us, he's absolutely acknowledging that this is not an equal playing field. And people have different struggles and things are really hard for some people. Likewise, in Shmona Prakim, he expresses the same thing. Amnam ani odea shemuskam alav mitorasenu umifilosofe yavan. It's agreed upon by Torah scholars and by Greek philosophers. Shepulos adam kulan mesuros lo. Ein machriach oso ben. We have absolute freedom. Velome vi oso shiyateu letzad mala o chisaron chutz mehu atzma. We are responsible for the choices we make. However, we do have natural inclinations, and it's easier for some people over than others. So The Rambam concedes we start off with certain predilections, but ultimately we are free to choose what we want to do. And I would add that this is very important in Avodas Hashem. This is not a point that the Rambam makes, but many other thinkers, as we'll see, do, that because we have these natural predilections, sometimes our job is not so much to overcome those predilections, but to channel them in a proper way. The bechira that we have is to figure out how to use those predilections for good, as opposed to overcoming them. One reflection of this is the Gemara in Shabbos you have over here, Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Hai man b'madim yegaver ashidama. Amar Vashi, o umna, o ganva, o tabcha, o moala. So a person might have a certain natural predilection towards blood, but he could choose how to direct that. He could be a bloodletter or a doctor. He could be a thief, a murderer. He could be a shochet, or he could be a mohel. He could use his predilection to blood towards mitzvos, towards averos, or in a neutral way. So the Gemara implies that we're born with very powerful and perhaps even sometimes insurmountable predilections. And the question is, how do we channel them? The Gra very famously writes that that is what chinuch is all about. Chanoch lenar al pi darko, gam ki askin lo yasur mimenu. If you're machanech the child according to darko, his way, so then even when he grows old, he's not going to deviate from that path. And that's what the Gra writes, that you have to educate a child according to their unique nature. If you teach the child how to use their natural predilections positively, then they won't stray. But if the educator attempts to mold the child into something that does not comport with that inborn nature, so while he might temporarily comply, eventually, gam ki yazkin, when he gets older, he will turn away. He'll revert to that natural way. Ki ha'adam i'efshar lo lishbor darko, ela shenitna ha'bechira b'yad ha'adam shiuchal l'achoz b'mazalo, l'hamido kafi shiyirtza, o tzadik, o rasha, o beinoni. So the Rambam, while endorsing freedom, is certainly not saying that we're born without predilections. And this brings us to a very important question, which is, that, again, on the one hand, the Rambam writes that we're free, we're absolutely free, seemingly in all respects. He even includes intelligence. At the same time, the Rambam, following the Gemara, states that people are born with different temperaments and challenges, and environmental factors play a large role. So how could the Rambam say we're totally free? To what degree are we totally free? So I'd like to consider with you two approaches in the Rambam. The first solution, this is the simplest solution. This is what I thought at first when I first started thinking about this question, is to say, yes, of course, the Rambam agrees that there are certain circumstances beyond a person's control that heavily impact their persona. The Rambam maintains, however, that everyone is capable of achieving perfection, which he says is the midah hamimutza, the moderation, the golden mean of all deos. And the Rambam explicitly notes, like we said, that we are free with respect to deos. That means totally free with respect to deos. And that's why we have to do tshuva for deos, as we saw. What we could call radical freedom. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. However, and this is the brings us to our second solution, I don't think that that is correct. I don't think it's possible. I don't think that's what Rambam could mean. Because as we'll see from other places, the Rambam, and especially in Mor Nevuchim, the next source, Chelek Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, the Rambam, in describing how people think in different ways, basically tells us that there are people that can never understand subtle distinctions, and that this inability is innate and it can't be overcome. And that's something that is relevant in Avodas Hashem, meaning to say a certain type of thinking, which according to the Rambam is part of Talmud Torah and Yedias Hashem, is not shaykh to everybody. We'll read this passage in a moment, but to put it a little differently, we said before that everybody could be, the Rambam says, everybody could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does that mean? So we said, well, maybe you're not going to be a Navi like Moshe, but does it mean that everybody could be a Talmud Chacham like Moshe? Or let's say someone a little closer to us, Rav Moshe Feinstein, right? Could everybody be a Talmud Chacham like Rav Moshe Feinstein? So let's look at what the Rambam writes. We'll just read it in English. Know that for the human mind, there are certain objects of perception that are within the scope of its nature and capacity. On the other hand, there are, amongst things that actually exist, certain objects that the mind can in no way and by no means grasp. The gates of perception are closed against it. Further, there are things of which the mind understands one part, but remains ignorant of the other. And when man is able to comprehend certain things, it does not follow that he must be able to comprehend everything. This applies to the senses as well. They are able to perceive things, but not at every distance. And all other powers of the body are limited in a similar way. A man, for example, can carry 2 kikar, but he cannot carry 10 kikar. That individuals of the same species surpass each other in these sensations and in other bodily faculties is universally known, but there is limit to them, and their power cannot extend to every distance or every degree. So that's obvious, right? We all know some people could carry 500 pounds and some people can't, and nobody could carry 2,000 pounds. But the Rambam writes, all this is applicable to the intellectual faculties of man as well. There is a considerable difference between one person and another with respect to these faculties, as is well known to philosophers. While one man can discover a certain thing by himself, another never is able to understand it, even if taught by means of all possible expressions and metaphors during a long period. His mind can in no way grasp it, as his capacity is insufficient for it. So there are things that you may never be able to understand that other people can. Doesn't mean everything. There are lots of things that with a lot of hard work, I could get to. I might not naturally be good at math, but with a lot of hard work, I can get through calculus 1. But I'm still not going to, be able to get a PhD in math. And the same thing is true with Torah. There are limits. A person cannot be like Moshe Rabbeinu with Nevuah, nor could even be like Moshe Rabbeinu with respect to Chachma or Torah or the like. So what does Rambam mean when he says that we could all be like Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is we could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. The answer is that we can fulfill our potential, our innate potential like Moshe Rabbeinu. Each of us has our own innate potential. Moshe Rabbeinu did everything he could possibly do. And so can each of us. Could be that this interpretation is alluded to in the Hagos Maimonios on that halacha, where he suggests that we should distinguish between a sachel, which is in the hands of man, and a tipesh, which is in the hands of God. So that's why the Rambam says that a person, sachel and tipesh both mean stupid people, but there's a difference. The Rambam didn't use the word tipesh, he used the word sachel, because the Rambam says, a person could be stupid because they don't try hard and they don't try to learn, or they could be stupid because they're born with with intellectual limitations. And so the Rambam, when he's describing our freedom, uses the word sacha, because he's saying a person could choose to be foolish. Likewise, when the Rambam writes that a person could be a chacham, it means he could be wise. In other words, someone whose actions are governed by their intellect, not by impulse. And this might be different than the Gemara Nida, which says that a person is born with a certain type of innate intelligence, and that's not Biat Adam. HaKol B'Dei Shamayim Chutz Mir Shamayim doesn't refer to chachma, that's referring to innate chachma. The Rambam is talking about chachma in the sense of acting with wisdom, using what seichel that you have to guide your behavior. And this also explains a different Rambam. It certainly explains this Rambam that we saw in Mar Nevuchim Chelak Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph. It also explains another passage in the Rambam in Mar Nevuchim Chelak Aleph, Perek Lamed Dalet. We won't get to that now. But the Rambam there writes that there are certain people that are born with a natural disposition, a complexion of temperament with which perfection is in no way compatible. Okay, isn't that the exact opposite of Hilchos Tshuva, where he said everybody could reach Moshe Rabbeinu's level, in even with respect to Deus? What does he mean by a person is born with a natural disposition and temperament which are incompatible with perfection? The answer is, like we're suggesting, that a person can fulfill their potential and in so doing be as great as Moshe. So to summarize, we've suggested two interpretations in the Rambam statement when he says everybody could be as righteous as Moshe or as wicked as Yeravam, as clever or stupid, merciful or cruel. In the first interpretation, we suggested that Rambam says that while it's true that we're all born with certain predilections, everybody has the ability to overcome those natural predilections and achieve perfection with respect to Deus, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. And we rejected that interpretation because Rambam acknowledges, as we saw in Mor Nevuchim, that not everyone is capable of grasping certain intellectual concepts, which, as we know, is a key ingredient in Moshe's accomplishment. And rather, Rambam says that sometimes we're born with certain predilections that are incompatible with perfection. That's worth noting that a person doesn't always know what these are. Sometimes we let ourselves off too easily. We say, well, you know, that's simply beyond me. I can't do that. And the truth of the matter is, it just means that we haven't tried hard enough or we don't want to try hard enough. But at the same time, there are people who can't do certain things. And I think that this reality has important implications with respect to environmental factors as well. A person living in a wicked society, so what should they do? They have two choices. They could say, well, look, I'm going to stay here because the Rambam told me I'm absolutely free. I learned Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Hei. I know that I have absolute freedom. So why should I move? I'll stay where I am and I'll do that which is right. Or a person should say, could be that where I am, I won't really have freedom. And the way that my freedom is expressed is by moving. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, and Hilchos Deos. Derech b'yaso shel adam lios nimshach b'deosav u'ma'asav achar re'av v'chaveirav. It is natural to be influenced by your neighbors and friends. V'noeg b'minag anshei medinaso. And to act like those around him. So what's the halacha l'maisa from that? The Rambam writes, "Lefikach tzarch adam l'schaber l'tzadikim b'leishav etzel chachamim tamid." kidei sheyomod mimaseihem. V'yisrachik min harishayim ha'ochad v'choshech, kidei shelo yomod mimaseihem. Hu sheshlomo omer, holech es chachamim yachkam, v'ro'eh ksilim yaruah. V'omer ashrei ish. V'chein im haya v'medina shemin hagoseha ra'im, v'ein anashe ha'ochim b'derach yishara. Yilech l'makom sh'anashav tzadikim. So a person has to hang out with tzadikim, and if you're in a wicked society, you must leave. V'no'agim b'derach tovim. V'mayu kol medinos shehu yod'an, v'shomeh shmu'asan, no'agim b'derach lo tova. So what if you can't find any society that is going to be a good influence on you? Everywhere you look. K'moz ma'neinu da. Oh? She'enu yachol le'lech l'medina sh'minigal se'ah tovim. Or, in theory, there is a country you could go to, but you can't get there. You can't afford to live there. The roads are closed. So what should you do? Yeshiv levado yechidi. So move to a desert. Live alone. Kinyan shenemar, yeshiv badad v'idom. V'im hayu ra'im v'chata'im, she'en manichan oso leishiv medina, Ella im kein nizar v'iman, noeg m'mina sara, yeitze l'ma'aros, u'l'chavachim, u'l'midbaros, bal yanhig atzma b'derach hatoyim, kinyin shenemar, mi p'neini b'midbar. So this Rambam is incredible. If you find yourself in a corrupt society and you can't find a better place to go, so then live alone. But if we think about it, it makes a lot of sense in light of what we are saying. Because the Rambam is acknowledging, in a sense, our limitations. And because of the powerful influence that society has upon us, sometimes the only choice that makes sense is to leave society entirely. Now, I'm not advocating any of you go off to a midbar, but it is something I think that follows from the approach he's taking. Yes, Morty.
Could we fit this explanation into the Rashi on Noach in terms of who he was into society?
Go ahead, explain.
Well, seeing the whole idea of comparing him to Abraham is the idea like he didn't, can he achieve that because he didn't have the same environment. So in terms of the Rambam, he wanted to do perfection.
Absolutely. In other words, certainly the Yesh Darshan Osel Leshvach, that if Ilu Haya B'Darsh Al Avram, he would have been greater. I don't know how that works with Yesh Darshim Lignai, but we'll say the Shvach for today. Okay, good. Now, all of this leads to a very important point, which is, and this is a big topic, and we only have about 10 minutes left, so we're not going to be able to explore this too deeply, but the degree to which a person is really free. What is the scope of our freedom? We already were medayik from the Gemara and Shabbos that a person can't always overcome particular predilections. In that case, the attraction to blood. The Meiri on that Gemara, actually, your next source, points out a very important thing. Mepinas adas miyisodos ha'amuna v'hamin shebechira b'yad ha'adam b'chol p'ulosav lasos kirtzon ish v'ish. So he begins by advocating for freedom, as we've seen in the Rambam, and he shows this is true. But skipping a little bit to after the ellipses, mikol makom, yeshu l'amin shekol zeh v'yimna b'chira minenu. Even though we have these predilections, they don't take away freedom. The lo yikare b'zeh mochrach. Despite my predilections, I'm not compelled. Rakhote b'vchira v'ratzon. Mipnei she'ashem nasan b'yado. B'chira l'hachriach teva toldoso. V'gidre hadas yashivuhu miteva mitivo. Limsho b'atzmo levilti leches achare ikvos toldosav. So this is an incredible line. He's saying over here that we have the Bechira to overcome our natural inborn predilections. But the point is that it's the ability to overcome them. Freedom doesn't mean you're absolutely free in the sense that you don't have these predilections. And I think what this implies, and we could see this even more explicitly in the next source, the Tashbates, that a person's freedom is realized in overcoming these predilections. We are free to go against our nature, but it doesn't happen automatically. It's not that we're naturally free. So the Tashbates over here writes, he talks about the natural, the humors, whatever it is that sort of control a person. Ta'afal pi she'adam b'chiri levatel zos ha'gzeira im yisneheg al pi sichlo aval im yisneheg lefi tiv'o ha'gzeira hi miskayames. It's almost like we have a gzeira against us. We're born with a gzeira against us. What's the gzeira? The gzeira is our natural flaws. We have bechira. Bechira is manifest in our ability to overcome that gzeira. But we're going against the grain. We're going against our natural grain. Naturally, if we don't choose to live freely, then we won't live freely. It's not automatic. The Chassid Yaivitz, the next source over here, says a similar thing. The Chassid Yaivitz, Rav Yosef Yaivitz, or sometimes known as the Mari Yaivitz, is not the same as Rav Yaakov Emden. He lived from 1440 to 1508. He was one of the Gerushei Sfarad. And he writes, next source, Rov Anashim Nisharim Al Tiva. Most people live their whole life without actualizing that freedom. In other words, we have this freedom, but it has to be actualized. Most people deny their freedom. And Revolbi Wright makes a fascinating point in Ali Shore. He says, why is it that most people deny their freedom? Because they've never actually utilized the freedom. Revolbi writes that the biggest kfira in our generation is kfira and bechira chafshitz. We talked about that last week in a different sense. The idea that people say, look, I am who I am. My nature, my nurture, that's the way I am. And that's the way I'm going to be. They deny freedom. Kfira and bechira. We think of the, you know, kofir be'ikr. That's the big problem. Kofir and yud gimel ikar yamuna. The biggest problem nowadays is kfira and bechira. Kfira and Bechira, denying that you could overcome that gzeira. And again, why do so many people deny it? Because most people never actually live freely. A person can go their whole life without living freely. They simply go with the flow. They do with that which comes natural to them. They never overcome those midos, those predilections. Rov ha'anashim nisharim al tiv'am. They're not mevatel that gzeira. So when we talk about freedom, first of all, we're not saying that we're free about absolutely everything. And we're certainly not denying the freedom. We're certainly not denying the incredible power that nature and nurture plays. But fundamental, miyisode hadas, is this idea that ultimately we are free. Take a look at, I guess this is the last source we'll have a chance to read inside today, the Ramchal, the Der Chachma. He writes, v'hine tireh sheyesh bepu'lot ha'adam mukhrachos u'bechirios. When it comes to people's behavior, there are things that are mukhrach, and there are things that are free. Some things are compelled, some things are free. Kiyesh ma shetiv o machricho. There are things that the teva is machriya, our own teva is machriachas. kibutzo hamedini, or where he lives, or where he was born. And there are things that are totally in his bechira. The thinker that, of course, made this idea perhaps most famous is Rav Dessler, who writes extensively about the idea of the Nekudas HaBechira, that Bechira is not about everything, at least in a practical and realistic sense. We all have things that we're struggling with, that we could go both ways. We could go this way and that way. Most of the decisions we make in our life are not made freely, in a conscious way at the very least. But there's always one nekuda where we're struggling between good and bad. Rav Dessler compares this to the line of scrimmage in a battlefield, the place where the, think of trench warfare, where the opposing armies are fighting, and it moves back and it moves forward. That's where our bechira lies. But the point is that it doesn't remain static. When we make a good decision, mitzvah goeres mitzvah, and that can move that line of scrimmage, it could move that nekudas habechira. A person might be struggling whether to go to minyan or not. And if he pushes himself, and he always goes to minyan, so then it'll become natural. He doesn't even think about not going to minyan, davening alone. His nekudas habechira is somewhere else. He struggles whether to come on time and leave at the end or come a little bit late and leave a little bit early. And if he masters that, then that too will become automatic. There's no practical freedom. And his nekudas habechira will be something else. Davening in a slow minyan or davening in a fast minyan. Or if Rachmana Litzlan goes in the other direction, even though he started off with the struggle of whether to daven with the minyan or daven alone, and he davens alone, his struggle will soon be whether or not he davens or not. He's not going to imagine going to a slow vasika minyan. That's not going to be on his radar screen. That's not going to be within his realm of bechira. Yes, of course, in theory, he could go. In theory, if he wishes to go to a slow vasika minyan coming on time, he could. But he's not even dreaming of that. So where we are is really a function, first of all, of where we started. That's beyond our control. But it's also a function of the free decisions that we've made in our own lifetime. And that is in our control. And really what matters is not so much how much a person accomplishes, but how far they've gone, the degree to which they've realized that potential. And that's what the Rambam means when he says we have the ability to be a tzaddik like Moshe. And even with respect to deos, I think maybe one reason why the Rambam calls them deos and not midos is because they're subject to das. We could choose. Not that that's easy. As we saw, it's a lifetime's avodah, that's something particularly hard. But Bezras Hashem, with a lot of hard work, we can make progress in this as well. So I want to wish all of you a Gmar Sima Tova, a good Shabbos. We should all be Zolcha to that Tshuva Shlema, the Tshuva Deos, Tshuva in Maisim, and we should all be Zolcha to fulfill our potential, each of us in our own unique way, and have a Gmar Sima Tova, and Bezras Hashem, we will pick up after Yom Tov.
Thank you, Gmar Sima.
Thank you, really. Have a good chance.
Kevin, good question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm just wondering, when it comes to chew on meisim, is Ram just saying the way to chew on meisim is just from refraining from doing the action? Because the chodah has to be in a deeper. And the Tshuva and the Maisim also has to, I think as Rabbi was saying just last week, right? has to also affect us on a deeper level, because otherwise we'll just go keep on going back to that.
Absolutely. And that's all part of Tshuva Meisim. And that's why even when it comes to Tshuva Meisim, you need Vidui Bepeh, and you need Charata, and you need Busha. And as we mentioned, the Rambam, I don't remember if we said this last week, but the Rambam talks about how, you know, the derech of a Baal Tshuva is to be shafel, the nivzen, to go into galus, because even when it comes to Tshuva Meisim, this is not something easy and requires a transformation. There's a reason why we, you know, did the first thing, you know, we did it wrong the first time. So I didn't mean to make that sound easy. And and that too, as we, as you noted, we talked about last week, is incredibly hard. So that too is hard. But what I meant to point out, I think what the Rav is saying is, though, still when it comes to Meisim, intuitively we feel free. In other words, the whole Shtickel Taira that the Rambam has in Prakim Hay and Vav, talking about the fact that we're free, so we intuitively feel free when it comes to Meisim. But when it comes to Deos, to a larger degree, we don't feel free. We sort of feel this is the way we are. And that's why the Rambam, before discussing Tshuva on Deos, has to elaborate on the scope of our freedom and show us that that even includes freedom with respect to Deos.
Maybe I just said that we feel more free with respect to our Meisim. I mean, I don't know, like, for example, taking that example of waking up in the morning, or that is very much largely dictated by the way we perceive, you know, the chashivas of going up to minyan. Or, I mean, this is all, like, everything we do is really based on, as Rebbe just finished off, with our das. I'm just not so sure with the line of separation between Meisim and Deos.
First of all, I think you're right. You're making a very good point that a lot of times things don't neatly fall into one or the other of the categories. That's true. And you're also certainly true that your Meisim are affected by your beliefs. But what I was talking about, and this week as well as last week, is the point that when it comes to Meisim, so the process is more straightforward. And frequently, I know it's right, and it's just a matter of doing it. And again, while it's not easy, if I push myself, I could do it. Again, if I'm working on coming on time to davening, so I feel like the choice is mine, and while it's not easy, I can chart out a path. And that's a lot more straightforward than when it comes to Deos. So perhaps that's what the Rambam's getting at. Yes, Morty.
Does Rebbe have an answer as to why the Rambam felt, or why the Rambam would think that Hashem gave different dispositions to us in the first place?
It's a very good question. I think that it relates to that Gemara that we mentioned from Shabbos that talks about someone who is born under the mazel of Ma'adim, of Mars. So they have that association with blood. The Rambam, and his famous letter on astrology, doesn't believe in astrology in the literal sense. But the idea of mazel is that, this is the way Rav Dessler explains it, based off of earlier sources, that mazel are the aspects of us that are necessary for us to achieve our tachlis, our goal, our tafkid. And just to give an example, a person suffers from poverty. So the Gemara tells us that could be for one of two reasons. It could be that their poverty is an onesh. They sinned and Hashem is punishing them with poverty. Or whether it's an onesh or it's a Yisurin that's being sent to wake them up and cause them to do tshuva and get better and the like. But it's not fundamental. And if they go ahead and they learn that lesson and they do tshuva, then they won't be poor. And then there's sometimes that a person suffers from poverty and he could do all the tshuva in the world and all the tefillah in the world, and he's still going to stay poor. And that's because it's his mazel. And what that means is his avodas Hashem, his life, is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch oni, for himself, to teach others. That's his avoda. In that way, he is going to achieve shleimus. That's why he was placed in this world. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the things that he gives a person are the things that are necessary for them to achieve their tafkid. We all naturally think of that that's true with respect to our gifts. Ah, if a person was given great brains, so obviously his tafkid is to use those brains, or if he's given a great voice, whatever it is. But it's just as true with respect to a person's weaknesses and challenges and the like, that these are the things. So we don't know. You know, there's no Nevi'im, and we don't really know what our tafkid is, and we're not told. But we believe that the things that a person is born with, or the person gets, that has nothing to do with the choices that they've made. So those things are things that are necessary for them to achieve their tafkid. It's not by accident it's supposed to be that way. So we don't, you know, I can't answer why a person was born with this and not that, but I could tell that person that if you're born in this state, that's the way it was supposed to be. It's not by accident. And your avodah is to use those things, those circumstances, in your avodah Hashem, and thereby achieve your tafkid.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Yes, Eric.
I just wanted to point out a makor. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein says on the Rashi and Parshas Va'era, or says emotion are on, sometimes one is before the other because they're shulim. Rav Moshe says the same idea, that because they're shulim and that they both reach their potential.
Right. Beautiful. Yes. Yeah, it's a great vart.
Thank you so much.
Shkayach. Thank you for reminding me of that. That's beautiful. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Just wanted to say thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you.
If it's okay, I just had one more question.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering, Rabbi says that everybody has a rishus to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. How does that imply that we can fill our potential?
Because that's what a tzaddik means. In other words, I mean, I think we could prove that that's correct in light of the other Rambams. I think that if I just had Hilchos Teshuva, you could translate tzaddik in more than one way. So maybe tzaddik just means as many mitzvos. Moshe got this many mitzvos, and we could also get that many mitzvos. But in light of what we saw in the Mar Nevuchim, clearly that's not what he meant, because the Rambam told us that not everybody could get that many mitzvos, learn that much Torah, etc. So clearly what it means is that tzaddik means, and you know, the truth is, I think that's a much more mistaber translation of the word tzaddik. So.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Okay,
Shkayach.
Good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos, Rabbi.
Good Shabbos.